That's good. Should I raise this? Should I make this higher?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, well, it's great to be here, and I'm grateful to the organizers for inviting me. When I was talking to a friend before I left, a friend who doesn't know anything about N categories, I was trying to explain what role my talk has in this conference, and the analogy I ended up coming up with was that it was as if this was a conference on analysis of infinite dimensional Hilbert spaces, and I'd been asked to give a talk about 2x2 matrices. Which I'm extremely happy to do. Later on I thought this was maybe a bit unfair because, in two-dimensional category theory there are actually a lot of surprises left. I think people can tend to assume that that it's all sorted out, but it's most definitely not. Maybe there are surprises about 2x2 matrices too, I don't know. So I'm not going to start from the beginning. I'm going to assume that you know kind of what I think you know, on the whole. The plan is this. So I'm going to start with just some preliminaries, some conventions, terminology. There's then the question of what structure the bicategories form. And then, as you see, most of it's about coherence. So we'll get to that. Okay. So, first of all, terminology. So, here's some of the traditional terminology. You talk about bicategories, homomorphisms between them, pseudo-natural transformations between them, and then modifications between the transformations. That little cloud is just an empty space. I don't know how to draw an empty space. You talk about monoidal categories and strong monoidal functions between them, biequivalences between bicategories, and then two categories. The terminology has evolved messily. Everything in green, these are all qualifiers meaning that things are weak. In other words, everything works up to isomorphism or equivalence, whatever the weakest possible thing is. You've got a Greek word for multiplicity and homo and pseudo and then just nothing and then strong and then bi. And these all mean the same thing. So I'm going to use what I would like to regard as a more progressive terminology, certainly a more uniform terminology, which is just to use weak in place of all those things. Occasionally I'm not going to say anything at all. So for monoidal categories I'm going to go with tradition and just say monoidal category to mean weak monoidal category, so treating that as the default thing. So some people are using this more uniform terminology, and I think this traditional terminology is very hard for outsiders, so I kind of hope that more people will do the same thing, but that's certainly what I'm going to do today. So in particular, two category will mean either weak or strict two category. If I mean what's traditionally called two category, I'll say strict two category. So that's the first piece of preliminary stuff. The second is I need to say just a little bit about what exactly I mean by a weak two category. So specifically I want to talk about what's sometimes called bias. So usually in a bicategory you have binary composites of arrows, right? And you have identities. But you can also do a mildly different version where you have an n-fold composition. So any string of n arrows has a specified n-ary composite, which I'm denoting like this with brackets around it. So the reason for the terminology, the idea is that the classical definition is biased towards the arities n equals 0 and n equals 2, whereas this treats all arities equally. And then the coherence isomorphisms, of course, look different from the classical definition. They look like these two things here. So just to explain the second one, the brackets around the F are saying it's the one-fold composite of the path consisting of just F on its own. Yeah, I can show you some precise version of this. Okay, so is something funny happening with this microphone? Is that? Oh, I turned it off today. No? Oh, thanks. Okay. That's why you guys at the back were all playing Sudoku. no, that's not true. Right. Oh, I feel very disorientated now. Okay, so the fact that it's a weak co-reflection can be phrased in two ways, as for monoidal categories before. Either you can say that the unit's an equivalence, or equivalent, logically equivalently, you can say that strictification is locally an equivalence. So this statement is in the Gordon, Power and Street tri-categories book. And again, this means that strictification provides a very good embedding of weak two categories into grey two categories. You shouldn't get overexcited by this, in the sense that you shouldn't think that it is actually an equivalence. So this two cat G grey is not equivalent to the three category of weak two categories. So the fact that this particular map st is not an equivalence is equivalent. It's the same as the statement it's not essentially surjective on objects. In other words, there are strict two categories that are not equivalent in the appropriate sense to st of anything in the world. And similarly for monoidal categories. In fact, the Lack-Tack paper shows that there's no equivalence whatsoever between them. Okay, so that is everything. So let me sum this up. The first important thing, I think, is that simply thinking in the standard way, looking for a left adjoint to the inclusion of strict into weak, provides you with what I think is the best possible coherence theorem. I mean, the Yoneda method is also useful for various reasons, but this gives you, in a completely canonical way, a holistic coherence theorem for two categories. The other thing to remember is that it doesn't all go as you might hope. You can strictify a weak two category. You can strictify a weak two functor, provided you're willing, as you should be, to change your domain and codomain up to equivalence. But you can't strictify a weak transformation. So if you want to pursue this thought, then inevitably you get into coherence of tri-categories, but that's beyond my remit. So I'll stop there. So, do you want it for monoidal categories, or? Okay, give me a moment. It gives you something, but it's not a strict monoidal category. So if it's the tensor Well, the tensor is going to have to be you take two trees and you kind of put a little V shape at the bottom of them, and that's not associative. So it's something, and it's probably a useful something. I think it does come up in places, but it's not going to help here, I think. Say that again. Is that right? Okay, good. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. So you said near the end, I think that if you could show your PowerPoint slide again.
So some speakers are slick enough to actually keep all their slides in order when they come off the projector.
No,
but
oh,
is it? Yeah, no, here we go. This one here?
Yeah. So I think near the end you said, well, stuff is locally equivalent,
yeah,
but it's not essentially surjective on objects.
Right.
So of course that sort of seems a little funny because you're saying, oh, so there's some gray categories that aren't quote unquote weak two categories.
Yeah, you don't mean grey category, but yeah.
Yeah, some guys with two categories that don't come from guys with W.
Yeah.
How about you being... Normally we would like to think of like the failure of the strict things to adequately model the weak things, kind of failure on the part of you.
Mm.
I
mean, I guess the failings of you are linked to the failings of Stir, because if, for instance, Stir was an equivalent, then so would you be. I know it seems a bit funny at first that Stir might not be essentially surjective on objects, but the point is that the notion of equivalence in 2CAT G is rather puny, because you've only got strict functors to use. And that means that things that sort of you think ought to be equivalent aren't equivalent.
Say what some of the failings of you are. Sorry, keep my note, failings of you.
I could call it I for inclusion, some of the failings of I. So this is in Steve Black's paper here. So you, I think I want to say you isn't locally full. Is that the right statement? Yeah. So that's saying that you can find a pair of strict two categories and a weak functor between them that isn't equivalent to any strict one. So it's the thing we met earlier. That's saying that it's not. No, that's not locally. Oh man, not locally surjective on not locally essentially surjective on objects. So yeah, that's the most obvious failing. There might be others. I don't know.
Is there any sensible way of characterizing the essential image of
the
co-fibrant object?
Co-fibrant object for the Quillen model structure you're going to mention in your talk? Okay. But it's in your paper of... Okay.
I'll mention it to you.
Okay. Excellent. Good.
Any other questions? Just the philosophical point, like, what's going on
here? Hi. You taking philosophy class? Well, why are people interested in making things strict at all?
Yeah, for one thing.
Well, it's certainly convenient, you know, if you're talking about abelian groups, not to have to bracket your threefold tensor products. I guess that's not a very satisfactory answer.
I know, but the associators and all that all got to do with cool cohomology and stuff, so why do we want to wash that away?
Some of us like to prove theorems where you do things concretely, like all of this in loop space theory is incredibly convenient to have stratification around.
Yeah, I can't, I mean, I don't think I have a very good answer to that.
I agree with Peter, it's a computational thing. But when you're actually trying to do something, as soon as you try and work with everything, mostly when you're doing bypassing,
you immediately try to avoid thinking about any of your coherence.
Okay, I guess that's what
you're really
trying to.
I guess what I'm asking is, what does this mean for next 10 years of category theory? What is it going to tell us? What? How should we think about? How does? What does this result tell us about how we should think about as the game goes up?
Well, I mentioned that this can be viewed as a consequence of some general two-monad theory. Rather than going up the dimensions, wandering around dimension two, that tells you. Also other things about two-dimensional categorical structures, things like, you know, instead of doing monoidal categories, you might be doing groupal categories or sort of, you know, categories with other structure. And then you can try and take it up dimensions. In principle, this adjunction should carry on holding in higher dimensions. I mean, there have been fragments of this done for three dimensions. No, I guess not. But I guess the fact that it comes from two monad theory does suggest that it's probably got some kind of quite large generality. But I don't know.
I mentioned the
Okay. Okay, great.